May we pray together. Stir up your power and come, O Lord. Come and descend upon us this Advent. Help us to prepare our hearts and minds and bodies and souls for your coming again. Lord, we cannot do this on our own, but only by your gracious Holy Spirit, only by the stirring of might within us, your might, may we hope to do the mighty things that you call to be your church, to be the people of your kingdom, to be the clay in your hands. Lord, remake us and send us on a journey to return to you this Advent season. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. In 586 BC, Babylon conquered Israel. And they destroyed the temple. And they took the people of Israel and they marched them from Israel all the way to Babylon, which is in modern-day Iraq and Iran. And so the book of Isaiah chronicles that exile. And the book of Isaiah spans 300 years of that time period. And when we come to Isaiah 64, which is today's Old Testament reading, we're at the point where Babylon's been conquered by Persia, so there's a new imperial power now that controls Israel with a new king, a guy named Darius. And Cyrus before him had allowed the Israelites to return if they wanted to Jerusalem, to rebuild and to inhabit their land again. It's important to understand that when they were taken to exile, it's not like we've seen before with slavery, like in Egypt. It wasn't like that. They had homes in Babylon. They had gardens. They were allowed to do business, things like that. They were just away from their land. The problem is, for Jews, it's not just a just away from their land, because their land is tied to their faith. And with the temple destroyed, that's where God resided. So it's like God had been booted out as well, in a way. And so it was a very emotional thing. But their lives were not like slaves. Many, in fact, once Cyrus gave this decree that Jews could return home and rebuild their lands and their temple, many actually chose to stay in Babylon. Many Jews did that. And they did that because they were prosperous there. They had businesses that were doing well. Probably the greatest example of prosperity that happened among Israelites in these foreign kingdoms, in this case Persia, was Esther, because she rose to be queen of Persia with the king Xerxes of Persia. And so many chose, like her, to stay during this time. For those who did choose to go home, to return, it was a difficult road, because they had hostile neighbors who didn't like them before they left, and just Israel is more powerful than them, and God gave them victory. And so now these hostile neighbors are still there, and they're not anxious to have Israel return. And we see that in today's gospel, echoed in the prophecy. If you look at 64:2, from the Old Testament reading, it says, "As when the fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you." So Isaiah is giving words, giving prayers to God for Israel, for these sojourners who are returning, and praying that these new enemies, these old enemies, might be cast out again or beaten again for Israel. And then also, they of course had the project of rebuilding, which was a big project because basically, Jerusalem and the temple were ground zero after the Babylonian siege upon them. And so hear this in 64 verse 10 and 11. Your sacred cities have become a wasteland. Even Zion, that's Jerusalem, is a wasteland. Jerusalem a desolation. Our glorious and holy temple where our ancestors praised you has been burned with fire. And all that we treasured lies in ruins. You know, the season of Advent is, as you saw, if you looked in today's bulletin, we have the new color purple. Talk about blue later. We got purple as the main color, the traditional color of Advent. And if you notice in the bulletin, it says that that color means preparation. And so I think Israel today really shows us two very important things about the season of Advent. And one is that we can be remade. And the other is that we can always return. And so in the season of Advent, we're preparing. There's lots of preparations that are done. And one of those preparations can be to return to God, just like Israel is returning to their land and to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In Isaiah 64, 8, it says, "Let you, Lord, our Father, we are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." And as I said in the children's sermon, you know, as long as you don't fire clay and let it set out and get dry, then you can continue to refashion it and remake it. And in a very real sense, that's what's happening with Israel, is they have a chance to be remade. The reason that they've been in exile in the first place is because they've sinned against God, they've gone away from Him. And so this is their opportunity to come back, to return and to be remade, just like clay in the potter's hands, refashioned again into whom He wants us or wants them to be. You guys know the creation story well, but I had never thought about this. I found this in my studies this week from Genesis 2:7. We mentioned this in the children's sermon as well. But it says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground." And it was giving this reference in my studies to today's scripture about a potter forming in clay. And then I got to think, oh, wait. Dust, clay. When I go digging in my backyard, the first thing I find is clay. And I can't get very far with just a shovel. And in fact, when I planted my trees, when we first moved to our house, I had to go rent an auger because it was so dry and there was so much clay, I couldn't get down in. And I needed to get, you know, a couple feet down for these trees to have some roots to be under the ground. And so I thought that was a really cool reference. You know, it's we might think of the dust on the ground, but maybe it's referring to as well, you dig a little bit, some of that clay that's in that dirt too. And that God fashioned us out of that. So Judah's exile and Judah's return is really an opportunity to go home. And then it's also an opportunity to be remade again. So God makes us. He made us in the creation. He made us in our mother's wombs. But we can be remade again spiritually after we've gone astray or gone away. And that's part of what the journey of Advent is about. Notice this is the same color as the one in Lent, right? And so there's a lot of joy in Advent. We know that from the Christmas season. And that's why this new blue has made a resurgence in the liturgical colors of the year. Notice the print in your bulletins are blue, right? And that's a color of Mary. It's a color of joy. But mixed into that still is this old purple, because it's a season of preparation, a calling you back, a calling you to repent, to turn and to come again to a closer walk with the Lord. In Isaiah 64:1, it said, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." It's a really beautiful statement. It's a powerful statement. It's a bold statement to the living God to come and to help your people. So besides being remade, we are also given this hope of returning. And you know, the Lord's coming isn't good news for a lot of people. It's not good news for the oppressor. It's not good news for an oppressive government. Because when the Lord comes back, he's going to establish his reign and his righteousness. I wish the dictators and those that we read about that make, you know, poor decisions with their might and power that they have would remember this Advent season. The Lord will come again and the oppressor will be thrown down. And so this is thrilling for the oppressed to know that the Lord is coming again. And this is part of the powerful prayer and prophecy of Isaiah. Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down. And let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. So if you're rebuilding in your life right now, you know, our churches, these all relate to our church, I think, really powerfully. We're rebuilding right now, not in a physical sense with construction, but in a congregational sense. We're looking to bring new members in, rebuilding in that way. If you have a daunting task before you, you know, that relates to us too. We have a daunting task. We're a small congregation in a community that's changing dramatically. And it's a daunting task to try to bring new people in. And if you feel beaten down, you know, it's easy to get, you know, feeling beaten down a little bit when you're a small church and you do ministries and you feel like people don't notice them. I think there's a lot in this exile experience that Israel has in a smaller way that we can relate to at St. Mark's. And maybe you can relate to as well in your personal journeys. Rebuilding. Daunting task. And feeling beaten down. When I went to a running camp called Pavo Running Camps, it was in the UP of Michigan and in high school. And I went for the first time as a junior. It was a very, very intense camp. The goal was to run 100 miles in 6 days. And most of it was all racing, so it was at a really intense level. And we dug holes in the ground for our toilets, made a latrine in the back there, put up some boards with a hole in it to sit on, but there was no outhouse covering. They called it a very Spartan camp. We bathed in, we took water from Lake Superior and poured it on ourselves on the beach for a bath, and it's like 55 degrees in the summer. That water. And so it was a very intense camp. I wasn't ready for it my first year at all. If I was a flower, I probably would have been described as wilting in that first camp. I fell off a bridge on one of the races. I didn't feel like I should do the next race, but my coach believed I should, and so he didn't feel like I was trying hard. And one time when I had a workout or race, I chose to do just as much as you needed to do, not extra. And he wasn't happy about that. So it was a hard camp in 1990. And so I went away from that camp really feeling down. I really felt like I'd, you know, blown my chance. I'd done poorly. You only get this chance once a summer at Pavo. So that whole next year, I thought about the next Pavo camp, the one in 91, and to go back there and to make it different. It drove all my training for the entire year. And I went back to that same camp, and I was able to run 100 miles this time in 6 days. I didn't the year before, and I did the extra in workouts. And I got to set an all-time record for one of the races. And I didn't fall off the bridge this time. I finished runner-up in that race and did the workout after it. It was a much different camp. And something happened between that 1990 and 1991, and I started to give my running to the Lord. So not only was I driven by the goal to get back to this camp and to do that camp in a much different way, but also I had given my running to the Lord, and I was trying to do my very best with every race that I ran or workout that I did, kind of as an offering to the Lord. And so I was driven by that goal as well. So I tell this story not to celebrate that I did well, you know, and to be the hero of the story. I don't think that works out really well for pastors. I try not to be the hero of my own story. But I really wanted to tell that story because there was a lot of the Lord remaking me and refashioning me as a runner and as a disciple during that year. And it came from hard experiences. It came from failures. It came out of the ashes or ruins, you might say. Very much like what Israel was, you know, meeting as they returned to the land. It was definitely a daunting task before them. And in my life, in a very small way, I saw the Lord's faithfulness to his promises to remake and to refashion me and to make me into something better than I was before. And if the Lord will do that in my life, the Lord will do that in yours and also in ours at St. Mark's and in the church, universal and Catholic. And so I hope that you hear in the Advent season a mix of two things. One is a call to return. It's a call to repent. It's a call to change. But I also hope you hear as well the joy of the season, the purple and the blue, the being remade and the returning. And the Lord, in that image of the potter, it communicates such a love. To know that the potter can refashion the clay, that the Lord continues to remake us into who he wants us to be. And so hear that. He wants relationship with us. He wants the best for us. And the best for us is to return to the Lord God Almighty. So this Advent season, reflect upon a couple things, one personally and one communally or congregationally. What are some ways in which we pray, you know, Isaiah 64:1, which is, O Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down. What are some ways in which we yearn for God to come and to make things different than it is? And then also in 64:8, what are some ways in which we pray that God might remake and refashion us as a congregation or as a person as we journey with him in this season and in life. Solomon prayed a prayer, which I thought was pretty powerful, that relates to today's message of remaking and returning. This is from 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And I thought that related so much to Israel. You know, that could be the message of all the prophets, right? You know, come back to the Lord. Return. And of course, that's a powerful message for us. Turn and return. And so Advent is just this wonderful time to get to focus on those two things, congregationally and personally. Turn and return. Be remade. Come back home. And as we saw in my story but more powerfully, of course, in the scripture of Isaiah today. The Lord is ready to hear those prayers, and he is faithful to respond, to remake us, and to call us home, and welcome us home, and to rebuild out of the ruins.